glad to be here this morning.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, welcome to Be Strong and Courageous Part 1. You know, many times our greatest enemies are not our circumstances or not even other people. Sometimes it's the thoughts inside our head. Sometimes it's our own fears, our own anxieties, and our own insecurities. And today, God has a very powerful and special message for you today about how we can live lives of courage, vitality, and strength. Today, we're kicking off this brand new series from the book of Joshua. And I love the book of Joshua because the entire theme of the book is be strong and courageous. And there's not one person in this room today that does not need the courage of God. So I want to invite you to grab your Bible and that outline there in front of you, and you can follow along with where we're going today as we're talking about being strong and courageous. Many times these mind monsters give us thoughts that tell us what we cannot do and what we cannot achieve. And yet God has another plan for us. Sometimes our own fears prevent us from trying new things, from getting married, from starting new businesses, from starting new chapters in our lives, from taking a new job. And sometimes we even quit too soon because we are driven by fear. Winona Judd, the famous country artist, told the USA Today a couple of years ago that her biggest career mistake was being too fearful. She said there were many times that she refused to sing, to perform, to record, because she was just simply afraid. Winona Judd, she's talented. She's gifted. She's wealthy. She's got the skills. You know, in fact, she refused to sing with Frank Sinatra just because she was afraid. I wonder how many of us today are being held back from our full potential just because we are afraid. God wants us to live lives of courage. God wants us to take steps of faith. God wants to take our faith to a whole another level. And so we're going to be looking at this powerful subject matter over the next few weeks, and I hope that you'll be back with us for each of these installments, because over the next 12 Sundays, we're going to go all the way through the book of Joshua. We're going to talk about courageous living. And by the way, next week, we're talking about Rahab the harlot, okay? Rahab the prostitute. We're talking about shady faith, okay? So that's coming up next week. I'll just put a little shameless plug in for that. You need to be back for some shameless faith and to learn about this faith of the prostitute, because it's pretty cool. But you know, the number one imperative in the Bible is don't be afraid. I believe God instructed us accordingly because he knows how much we struggle with fear, how much we struggle with our own insecurities. And the book of Joshua, we find that Joshua, the leader, has now taken the mantle of leadership for the people of Israel. Moses, the iconic Israelite, had led the people out of Egyptian captivity. Then they had wandered in the desert for 40 years, and now Joshua is to lead them across the Jordan River into the land of promise. This happened about 1,400 years before Christ. And Moses had been such a powerful leader. I mean, the dude had parted the Red Sea, you know? He had got into Pharaoh's face and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh cowered. Moses had been handed the Ten Commandments by God on Mount Sinai. I mean, there was nobody that had a resume like Moses. And now all of a sudden, Joshua, his understudy, his right-hand man, has moved in to this leadership position. And the problem that he's facing is that many, many years before, 40 years before to be more precise, the Israelites had gotten to the edge of the land of promise, but if you're familiar with the story from Numbers 13 and 14, they sent 12 spies to go check out the land. And they came back and 10 of them spread a negative report in Israel. They said, "God told us we could conquer the land, but the cities are too fortified, the people are too big and strong, and there's no way. It would be crazy for us to try to take the land of promise." And there were 10 spies that said, "We cannot do it," and there were 2 spies that said, "We could." The 2 spies were Joshua and Caleb. Interestingly enough, they're the only 2 guys of their generation that are still alive now in Joshua chapter 1. God said because the people did not have faith, because they did not believe, he was going to let them die in the wilderness. They were going to wander around for 40 years and accomplish nothing. But at an appointed time, they would inherit the land, but it would be the next generation. Joshua spent the early part of his life under the Egyptian domination as a slave. He spent the middle part of his life wandering around in the wilderness. And now he's 80 plus years old, and he's the general of the Israelites, and he's leading them across the Jordan River into the land of promise. Today, Joshua had amazing courage. Amazing courage to take these ornery people, these unbelieving people, and to turn them into an army, and to see them accomplish great things was a feat in and of itself. They were to take the promised land, and the promised land was a place of abundance. It was a place of blessing. The book of Hebrews tells us that God wants every one of us to enter into God's rest, the promised land, and that is to live a life of fulfillment and joy and blessing. That's our goal, is to be in the land of promise, spiritually speaking. Today, if we're going to be people that inherit the land of promise, we have to live by courage. And I want to share with you these five powerful thoughts today, these five powerful insights from Joshua chapter 1 about how you can live life with more courage and more faith in God. The first we see is found here in verse 1. The Bible tells us to neutralize our negative thoughts. Neutralize the negative thoughts. Notice Joshua 1 verses 1 through 3. After the death of the Lord's servant Moses, the Lord said to Moses' assistant, Joshua son of Nun, "My servant Moses is dead, and now you and all these people must cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm going to give the people of Israel. And I will give you every place on which you set your feet, as I promised Moses." And then in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And all the way through chapter 1, we see this statement, "Be strong and courageous." He says it four times, you know? And you kind of get the impression that God's really serious about this. He keeps telling Joshua over and over and over again. Notice he says it in verses 6, 7, 9, and 18, the same thing. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. By the way, you need to be strong and courageous. And oh, Joshua, do not forget, be strong and courageous. Why was God telling Joshua he needed to be strong and courageous? I believe it's because he was afraid, right? I mean, God's not going to tell him something he doesn't need to know. And if you think about it, and you look back on the history of the Israelites, they had never been people that had accomplished anything. I mean, for 500 years, they had wandered in the desert or been Egyptian slaves. Can you imagine what that did to the psyche of the people of God? I mean, if you've been belittled and put down and you've never owned anything and you've never really had any opportunities and you've been exploited and taken advantage of, I mean, how all of a sudden do we change from, "I'm a slave, I'm wandering around in the desert chasing around little lizards looking for dinner," to now becoming this courageous person of faith that's going to conquer the promised land? I mean, there's a big difference there, isn't there? And the only way that Joshua was going to motivate and inspire these people to accomplish the plans that God had for them was to let God do a work in their heart. God was going to give them a courage. God was going to give them the fortitude that they needed. But they had to neutralize the negative thoughts. They had to forget about where they had come from. And it's not as if God told Joshua, "Be short," or "Be left-handed," or "Be Canadian," right? I mean, those are things that you cannot change. That is what it is. But courage is an action. Courage is something everybody can develop. Man, it doesn't matter where you're from or what your background is. You can learn to live courageously. Some things you can change about yourself and other things you cannot. But courage is an action. It's an action. It's a choice that we make to follow the Lord. Now, there were so many what ifs. You know, Joshua had to be asking himself, "What if I don't lead like Moses? What if the people don't follow me? I mean, what if I lead us into battle and we lose a battle? You know, what's going to happen?" And all these what ifs that were before him. And yet Joshua proceeded with courage Because he began to forget about the past and to embrace the future. And that's what every one of us has to do. And I don't know what you've been into or where you've come from or what mistakes you've made in your past. But listen, if you're going to move forward with courage, you have to put the past behind you. You have to put the past in perspective. We can learn from the past, but as long as we stay stuck in the past, hung up on the past, think the way we used to think, we'll never accomplish all the plans that God has for us in the future. And you see, maybe one of the mind monsters you're facing today is just seeing yourself in a new light. Seeing yourself as a conqueror, as the book of Romans tells us, rather than a slave and a nobody. And the Israelites had to put that past behind them. They had to neutralize those negative thoughts. They had to think differently. They were no longer in Egypt. They were no longer in the wilderness. They were in the land of promise, and they were about to fulfill their destiny. God said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. The second thing we see is we have to clarify our purpose. We have to clarify our purpose. God was very clear to the leader, Joshua, about what he was to do. Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. Now then, when you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your feet as I promised Moses. God said, Joshua, this is your purpose. You need to get the people together, you need to cross the Jordan River, and you need to go possess the land that I have given to you. That's the deal. That's what you're doing. Yes, sir. There was no ambiguity. There was no question, you know? And sometimes in life, we don't have courage because we're really not sure what we're doing. You know, we're not sure where we're going. If we're not sure where God has called us to go, it's really hard to be real courageous about it, isn't it? You know, you kind of get into a situation, you face a wall or the bottom falls out, and you kind of ask yourself, well, I don't really know what to do, you know, because I'm not sure how I got here, and I'm not sure what my future is, and I'm not really sure why I'm doing this. And so we find ourselves confused. But listen, when you face the adversity before you and you have confidence as to what God wants you to do, you can press forward with courage. That's how Joshua was so courageous, because he knew what God had told him to do. He said, man, God's going to give me the land. God's going to give me the leadership. God has given me the opportunity. Now I just need to go and get it done. You may be thinking, well, Ron, that's cool. I mean, I get it, man. I need to know what God wants me to do. But how in the world do I have the confidence of Joshua? How do I have such a firm grasp of what my purpose is, right? Because sometimes that's kind of tough. How do I know what my purpose is? Listen, if you want to know what God has called you to do, you got to get alone with Him. You know, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I'm not talking about is it sinful or not sinful. I'm just talking about, do I go to the right or to the left? Do I just make this decision or that decision? Sometimes you can have two great decisions in front of you, and knowing which one to take requires spiritual discernment. And that's something that God has to do in your heart through prayer, through Bible study, through following the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. And I don't know how to give you a 1-2-3 formula about that, or to say, take this online assessment, or, you know, read this book or whatever. But I can just tell you this. If you'll get alone with God, He'll show you what He wants you to do. And when God shows you what to do, you go and do it, and you have courage to face the future, because you know that God's the one that called you to do it in the first place. This is why Joshua began to muster up the faith, the fortitude, and the strength he needed to accomplish the goal at hand. He knew God had called him to the task. And many people live their whole lives and they have no purpose. They're like the Israelites wandering around in the wilderness, man, just moving from feeling and emotion and good idea and what somebody else told me to do, and people just live in confusion. Other people, they have the wrong purpose. My purpose is to do whatever I want to do with my life, selfish ambitions, and focus on other things other than the Lord, appetites, desires, you know, whatever. And so we can have the wrong purpose, we can have no purpose, or we can have the purposes of God. But when the purposes of God are birthed in our heart, it gives us courage to face the future. And that's how Joshua stayed with the stuff, man. He clarified his purpose. What does God want me to do? Look at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. Man, he got along with God. You need God to give you direction? Get along with him. Maybe you need to take a day off of work and go to the mountains with your Bible and just ask God to speak, you know, and to lead you and direct you. Maybe it's spending more time in prayer than you've spent before. Maybe it's just committing yourself to Bible reading. Maybe it's just really disciplining yourself in spiritual discipline so you can hear from God, because you've got a choice to make. You know, you've got to decide, am I going to go here or am I going to go here? And listen, if we live a life that is aimless and that is uncertain, we will never have courage. But when we hear from the Lord God's direction for our future, then we have courage to face tomorrow. When we started this church, you know, I had two groups of people in my ear. I had one group of people that said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I had another group of people in my ear that were saying, man, why are you going there? That doesn't make any sense, Ryan. You don't know anybody there. You know? Let me give you 10 reasons why the Edge Church, you know, will never develop or whatever. I had to come to the spiritual conviction as to what God was leading me to do. And you have to live accordingly. You got to decide for yourself. You know? What's God leading you to do? You're going to know when you get along with Him. And so Joshua has this confidence. He has this purpose. It's interesting that one courageous act of leadership can be the tipping point for God to do amazing things. And when Joshua got a word from God, the people followed. You see, one word from God can change your family. It can change future generations. It can change your community. It can change your neighborhood. It can change your church. Because when we get a word from God and we begin to live by courageous conviction, as Joshua did, it is the tipping point for God to do amazing things. So we have to be clarified. We have to clarify our purpose. And then we energize our faith by past experiences. Now, these are past faith experiences. Okay? Yesterday's faithfulness prepares us for tomorrow's success. Verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Deuteronomy 34:9 says, now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. He had two benchmarks, two things to look back on. One is God had called him to be the leader of the Israelites and to take the land of promise. The second thing was Moses had laid his hands on him and anointed him as his successor. So Joshua, every time he got discouraged, every time he didn't know what to do, every time he got into a mess, he had two things to look back on and to say, I'm not crazy. God called me and Moses anointed me, and so I guess I'm in the right place. You know? How's that? Did you know the past faith experiences of your life can be the very thing that drives you to the future? And sometimes we forget all of the great things that God has done in the past, but yet the faithfulness of God in the past is the thing that sets us on pace for all that God's going to do in the future. And God says, listen, Joshua, you cannot forget where you've come from. You cannot forget about how I parted the Red Sea. You can't forget about the manna and the quail laying on the ground each morning as the Israelites got up. I mean, you cannot forget about the experiences that you've had in the past, because that's going to give you faith for the future. Sometimes we just forget about what God has done. In fact, I wrote on my blog a few weeks ago, just really kind of a blog giving thanks to God. My little boy, Zane, has just turned 5 years old. And so I was kind of reflecting on that a little bit. And I put a picture of him and I wrote about how we had so much trouble getting pregnant. And God was so faithful. It took forever for us to have our first child. I mean, it took a long, long time. It felt like a long, long time. And it just reminded me of the faithfulness of God. You know, we've been in a new series or a new transition, a new time frame in our own family. Gina, my wife, who is normally our worship leader, has not been able to sing. And if you're new to the Edge Church, you may be wondering, is Pastor Ryan married, okay? Because Gina's kind of been kind of hidden because she cannot talk. She has vocal nodes on her vocal cords. You know, she can't talk. And so she hasn't been able to sing. And so she's been kind of, you know, hiding out backstage and doing sign language and stuff like that. It's been very interesting. But it's very painful at the same time. And it's been kind of scary. I mean, you don't realize how much you use your voice till you don't have it anymore, right? And I've had some great conversations with myself actually recently in the home. You know, it's been incredible. And you know what? Gina just does whatever I tell her because she can't argue with me. I mean, it's amazing the harmony in the home that happens. We just get along so well, so good, so good. So I think she's backstage not listening right now. That's good. Good thing. But she's been unable to talk and to sing. I appreciate your prayers. Many of you have been praying for her and encouraging her. And she is much better. And we think that probably in July she's going to be able to come back and sing, which we're really excited about that. But, you know, what I have reminded her and what I've reminded myself of is God's faithfulness in the past. God's goodness in the past. And that's the thing that sustained us through this small hiccup. And I know in the grand scheme of things that there are many other things that could be going on that are much worse. And I get that. But sometimes we get discouraged just with the little bitty routine things, you know. And we need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. And that's what God was saying to Joshua. Now, Joshua, I've been with you in the past, and I'm going to be with you in the future. I'm not going to leave you out there. I'm not going to lead you into the land of promise and then run off and leave you guys out there on the field of battle. I'm with you, okay? And he goes on and he illustrates that. So we need to remember the past. I love to write in my Bible. You know, I have passages where God did things in my life, or I read them and I was inspired, and I love to write in the Bible. Maybe you write in a spiritual journal. In Joshua chapter 3, we're going to see that Joshua had the Israelites put 12 stones of remembrance there on the banks of the Jordan River. Why? Because he wanted them to remember how God had parted the Jordan River. And it's important for us to remember spiritual milestones, because spiritual milestones keep us going in the future. Now, if you really want to be a person of courage, find courageous examples and spend time with them, because they'll rub off on you. For Joshua, it was Moses. And you want to be a great person of courage? Find courageous people of faith and spend time with them and let that rub off on you. You know, you'll become a courageous person of faith. You know, you'll be a person of inspiration as well. And that's what Joshua did. Now, the fourth thing is we got to harmonize our life with God's commands. Okay? Be strong and very courageous, and be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from the left or to the right, that you may be successful in wherever you go. And keep this book of the law always on your lips, and meditate on it day and night, so that you can be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God tells Joshua, stay faithful to the book. Stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to the teachings of the Scripture. If you want to succeed, if you want to prosper, if you want to have a successful life, do the Word of God. And he gives him five commands there in verses 7 through 9. The first one is be diligent. He says, be careful to obey the law. Be diligent. You know? Be careful. He says, second of all, be unwavering. Don't turn from the left or to the right. You know, don't get off course. We're going to see in chapter 7, the Israelites decided to kind of do their own thing in one of the battles, and they lost big time. Big time. They had a wavering faith. You know, they kind of forgot to be humble. They forgot to follow what God had said. Kind of started doing their own thing. You know, you want to prosper and succeed? Be unwavering. You know, don't be off over here one day and off over there another day and then somewhere in between after that. Be verbal. Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth. You know, we ought to be speaking the word of God to people. We ought to be encouraging others. We ought to be saying the word. And then he says, be focused. Meditate on it day and night. You know, to meditate is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it's a word that means to murmur. So if you meditate, you're murmuring the word of God. You're talking, you know. And I mentioned a minute ago that I like to talk to myself because my wife can't talk, but I like to talk to myself anyway. You know, it's great fun. In fact, I preach a lot of great sermons when I'm by myself. Really fantastic in my bathroom and other places. In fact, I was talking to myself just the other day. Do we have some people like to talk to themselves? Okay, a few. This is a great exercise. It really is. I was at Payway, which that is one of my favorite restaurants, and I love to talk to myself at Payway, but I was standing out in front of the restaurant, and Gina had gone to the bathroom, and I was out front, and she was walking back, and I was out there, and I was like, you know, and she walked out, and she looked around, and she said, "Ron, who are you talking to?" And I started to get kind of embarrassed, you know. I was like, I was thinking about Joshua chapter 1. I was getting this sermon together. You know, I was like, man, this is going to be a good one, babe. And then I got a little embarrassed. You know, I was like, we need to get in the car and kind of get out of here. To meditate on the Word of God is to speak the Word of God. It's to murmur it. It's to talk to yourself. It's to say it over and over and over again. And that's a good thing. That's how I learn. Some people learn by reading books. Some people learn by listening to seminars. I love to learn. I love to talk about things. I like to process it out, you know. That's what the Bible's saying. To meditate on is not just to sit there and do this, but it's to talk about it, to murmur. Be focused and then be thorough. Be careful to do everything written in it, the Bible says. Now, this is God's perspective on successful living. You live the Word, you do the Word, you think the Word, you speak the Word, you do the Word, and you will be successful. And it's not just enough to read the Bible, okay? Being a Christian is not just academic. It's not just memorizing more Bible trivia facts. It is living the Word. It is doing the Word. When you do the Word, that's when you really learn the Word. And that's when you're like, oh my gosh, this stuff really works. Whoa! Shazam, you know? How cool is that? Not just something I read off a page somewhere, but this is real. I mean, this stuff really works. And so we got to harmonize our life with God's Word. When we live in line with God's Word, it produces confidence and it produces faith. Now, there's reasons we don't follow the Word. One is we're always looking for shortcuts, you know? How can I get from point A to point B the fastest, regardless of what God says? And we take a lot of shortcuts. By the way, there's no shortcuts with God. The second thing is we think everything has to make sense. I'll follow the Word of God if I can understand why. Listen, how many of you know this? There are many, many things in the Bible that are mysteries. We don't know all the ramifications. We don't know all the insights. If the Israelites would have waited to understand every aspect of what God was going to do at the Battle of Jericho, they would have never won the victory. Because, you know, God gave them a really strange battle plan. They were to march around the city one time for 6 days. Now, how weird is that? God, that didn't make sense. I'm not going to march around the city. What we want to do is we want to go put a hole in the wall and send some troops around this way and some other troops this way, and we got a better plan, God. God said, send the people around, march around one time 6 days, and the seventh day, march around 7 times, and the walls will fall flat. Now, does that make sense? No, that makes no sense. That's silly, other than the fact that God said it. So there's a lot of things in the Bible we don't understand why. Listen, if you wait to understand all the why, you'll never follow God, you know? I mean, when it comes to our sexuality, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our decision-making, if we wait till every single thing makes sense, we'll never live in accordance with the Word. Okay, I'm just saying. Now, we think we have to know all the details. Number one, it's got to make sense. Number two, I got to know all the details. God, I can't do that. When God told Joshua to get ready to cross the Jordan River, he didn't say, now, the first battle, you're going to go to Jericho, then you're going to go to Ai, and then, you know, you're going to march around the city here, and then you're going to go over there, and you're going to set an ambush, and then you're going to go over there, and the sun's going to stand still. And let me just tell you every single thing about it. Joshua didn't know any of that. All he knew is that God had called him to conquer the land. That's all that he knew. And many times the life of faith is the life with few details. Because when you really begin to trust God, you don't know necessarily what the next step is. It's kind of like Abraham when God told him to leave where he was and to go to the land of promise. And Abraham was like, okay, God, well, where do you want me to go? He's like, well, I'm not going to tell you yet, but you just need to start walking. okay, you know, show me where it is. And he did. So you don't have to have all the details, and it doesn't have to make sense, and it doesn't have to fit in a nice, neat little box with a bow on top of it. All God wants you to do is to begin to live the Word of God. And when you do that, the Bible says you'll succeed. You'll prosper. All these things really come together around this final thing, and that is, utilize your opportunity. Seize the moment. God promised to give it to them, but the people had to take it. Now, there's a divine partnership between courageous living. There's part of it is what God does, okay? I'm going to part the Jordan River, and the people are going to walk across. That's dramatic. That's a God thing. There's another part of courageous living that is what you do. That's where you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you know? And if we just see living courageously as what I do or just what God does independently, then we'll never really understand how this whole thing works together. So part of it is what God does. Part of it is what you do. Let me give a small example. At the Battle of Jericho, it's dramatic. We're going to see this in a few weeks. The walls fall down. Whoa, that's a God thing. At the Battle of Ai, God said, now you take that city. And they set an ambush, and there was nothing necessarily miraculous or dramatic about it. Did you know some battles in your life, God says, this one's up to you. I'll give you the strength and the wisdom to do it, but you need to go get it done. Other times, God shows up and does crazy things that don't make sense. It's all faith. It's all trusting in Him. But these things have to come together. They have to work together. Now, interestingly enough, God gave 300,000 square miles of land to the people of Israel, and you know how much they took? Only 10%. Only 30,000. God said, you can have all this abundance, you can have all of this blessing, you can have all of this stuff, it's already reserved for you, I've already got it all set up, you guys just need to go in and possess it and take it. And the Israelites got satisfied, and they said, you know what, we'll take a small fraction. We'll take 10% when we could have had 100%. You know, many times in the Christian life, we settle for so much less than all that God has for us. And listen, we want to be the kind of people that possess every blessing and every opportunity and everything that is before us by the power of God. God wants us to live courageously. And then Joshua commanded the leaders of Israel in verse 10, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready, and in 3 days you will cross the River Jordan and possess the land that God has given to you. It's time to do the deal. It's time to get it done. Let's go. Let's utilize the opportunity. Let's seize the moment. I believe that in the near future, God is going to give us our own building. You know, we love meeting here at the school. This is a great place. But this isn't our final resting place, okay? This is a temporary place. This is wandering in the desert. God has a land of promise for us later. We don't know all the details of that yet. God's going to give it to us. We're going to possess the land. We're going to utilize our opportunity to seize the moment. So what are you afraid of? Is it tomorrow? Is it yesterday? Is it success? Is it failure? Is it the known? Is it the unknown? Is it pain? Is it defeat? Is it disappointment? Is it fear? You see, courage doesn't come naturally. It has to be nurtured. But when we take these steps of faith, we begin to be courageous people as we follow the Lord. Interestingly enough, the name Joshua in the Old Testament is translated Jesus in the New. It's the same name. It means Yahweh saves. God saves. Joshua, Jesus. And man, the beginning really of courageous living is having a relationship with Jesus, with Him, the Lord. Maybe you'd like to invite Him into your heart today to be the leader, to be the Lord of your life, man, to forgive you of your sins, to make you a brand new person, to give you a hope and a future, and to give you the courage that you need to face whatever is before you. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. I want to lead us in a word of prayer, and if you'd like to commit your life to Jesus today, I want to give you the opportunity to do that. Just say, Lord, I know that I have sinned. I pray you'd forgive my sins and that you'd make me a brand new person. I'm putting my faith in Christ and what he did at the cross in order that I can receive new life in him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.